CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is all happening. Oh, Candace has moved outside. Look at that, and you can even hear.
Because the lighting was driving me insane, Gareth. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, the whole time, I was like, oh. So, yes, I'm giving you better lighting.
Well, I mean, you're also going to say you dressed up for us this morning, which is most unusual. I mean, normally nobody could care less about dressing up for the show.
I try, Gareth. I'm trying to keep the group average high here. You know, I don't want to be that one where they're like, oh, Candace again. Oh, Lord.
Look, someone's got to lift the standard around here, you know.
Gareth always teases me about, like, not covering my shoulders. And this morning before we got on the call, he's like, you know, I can tell the weather's changing. I'm like, you know, Gareth, you know the weather's changing when women like me have to start covering up. Women built for the streets.
And what did I say? I said, women like you? Women like you? Sure. Okay. Well, guys, I got such bad news. Over the weekend, David Mabuza, who's the deputy president of South Africa, he's handed in his resignation. And I'm not sure that we were ready for this. I mean, this is like, you know, this is like Churchill abandoning Britain right in the summer of 1940, just before, you know, the Nazis start bombing the place. This is like
it's like Harry leaving the royal family.
It's like George Washington just deciding not to cross Delaware and fight the English anymore and just like give up. I give up my farm. I give up my wooden teeth. Let the English just take it. You know, that's what it's like. It's really bad. I don't know how we're going to manage.
It's really going to be a devastating time in the country's history, Gareth. Yes. And I think it's just fair we really acknowledge the depth of this loss to our country. Yes.
I would like us to hold hands this morning. Let's just say a little prayer for South Africa in the absence of Didi Mabuza. I mean, it's going to be so difficult with a man who's done so much. You know, his list, I glibly said before we took a break that, you know, his list of achievements is so long. He's done so much for us. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Candace, you and Leanne would love to list some of those achievements. So please, you know, go ahead, because this is a time for us to take stock.
Gareth, I want to start with all the incredible achievements, but I feel like the list is so long, it's overwhelming to my sensibilities. So I will let Leanne take this one away, because I am just overwhelmed by the loss.
And you have the honor of listing the tremendous life work of Didi Mabuza, Deputy President of the Republic of South Africa. Go ahead.
Well, I'll start by saying that these are really big shoes to fill. And I think it's going to be a real challenge for whoever takes up the position. Hats off to them. They're about to spend many coins during their day on filling Didi Mabuza's shoes.
Right.
And, you know, as for the list, I think that when someone has done this much, you can't put it down to a list on paper. It would just be trivializing the amazingness that they've achieved. So I'd rather just respect it and leave it unsaid.
Okay, so you're also dodging it then, because I was really hoping someone would climb in there, and maybe one of our listeners is willing to give the right amount of respect and you know, credit where it's due. I mean, I'd really love someone. Here's Tracy. She's going to try. Didi has done so much for us. Probably the minister of the highest amount of absenteeism. He also went to experience the Russian healthcare system on our behalf. Thank you, sir, for your service. That's a good place to start. Very good.
It wraps everything up nicely. I don't think anything more needs to be said.
I had several messages from people on Instagram yesterday when I shared this devastating news. A few of them said things like, I didn't even know we had a deputy president, or what was he doing before he was deputy president? Or did he have an office? Did they give him some sharp pencils to sit with in his office? What precisely did he do? I'm not sure I know the answer to those questions. Those are big questions that really it requires a lot of government commissions of inquiry to tell us about. And I'm afraid, like, we've got to move on, guys. We can't hold on to the memory of Didi Mabuza. And I really feel that we paid him the second highest salary in government for a good reason, didn't we?
Don't we always? I mean, the amount of money we spend is always wonderful in this country.
Mm. Well, I'm going to look it up because I want to see whether, you know, Wikipedia, for example, is doing him justice this morning. Let's just see what they say about him on Wikipedia. David Dabede Didi Mabuza, born 1960, South African politician. I'm looking.
Maybe it's further down.
He's a teacher by training. Okay, so all right. I'm sure he taught all of us a lesson when he was deputy president. Our lesson being, you know, maybe you shouldn't just be throwing money at people and giving them positions. Anyway, he's got a matric. His parents were farmers. He specialized in mathematics education. Can you believe that? He was a principal of a school between 1989 and 1993. I'm still not. It's really all political from there on. There's not really too much else that's going on. He ingratiated himself with two successive provincial chairpersons of the ANC, Lize Mahlangu. Do you remember Lize Mahlangu?
Yes.
Remember, he was the one who said, all politicians lie, when they caught him with his hands in the till. He said, all of us lie. You can't just go after me. Lize Mahlangu. I think he's dead now, Lize Mahlangu. Anyway, he was Mpumalanga premier. He failed up. You know, if there's an inspiring story for anybody in Didi Mabuza's tale, it is that you can fail up. You don't have to always fail down. A lot of people think, you know, when you get fired from one job or you leave one job in disgrace because you've done nothing there, that you will automatically sink down the list. But that's not true. Didi Mabuza teaches us you can fail up from, you know, teacher to principal to premier of Mpumalanga to deputy president of the country. You keep failing up. It's amazing. And now you realize that for the rest of his life, because he was deputy president of South Africa, he gets a blue light brigade. He gets state funding for where he lives. He gets a car. He gets probably his shopping done by us as well. Gets bodyguards. For the rest of his life, he's going to keep costing us money. Which I'm happy to pay. I don't know about you guys, but I feel with his contribution, it's a good thing that we're paying.
I mean, Gareth, it would be selfish of us to feel any other way. And, you know, it always makes me think how we always talking about the American dream, But what about the South African dream, where you can do nothing and get everything? I think that is the dream I want to be a part of.
He did take medical leave, as someone already pointed out, in Russia, where he remained for more than a month before he eventually came back to South Africa. He said it was related to his alleged poisoning, but we never got confirmation of that. And when the DA asked him in the National Assembly whether he'd been poisoned, the question was disallowed. So we'll never find out for sure what happened there. His motorcade had two separate car accidents. These are all the list of achievements. One was on the N1 in Midrand. He was not in any of the vehicles at the time, but they were speeding just for fun, for a laugh. Ha ha ha.
They were practicing.
And then
skills shop.
Right. And then, you know, there was a huge amount of cash stolen from his farmhouse in Mpumalanga, which sounds a lot like the story of a president having all that cash stolen from his ranch, as they call it. Apparently 14 million rand was stolen from Didi Mabuza's house. So he had 14 million rand stashed away in his farmhouse, which is near Barberton. Leanne, isn't that where you go on holiday sometimes, Hazy View?
It is. I have to admit, it's true.
Oh, so did you steal the money? Don't answer now. There's all kinds of stories about alleged political violence, alleged corruption, a lawsuit against Matthews Poza. But that's all we could find, really. He did establish the Didi Mabuza Foundation, whose priorities are education and the social upliftment of vulnerable groups, such as children, the elderly, and persons with disabilities. But whether or not the Didi Mabuza Foundation has actually done anything, angas. Angaz. Sorry. He does have an enormous big house that he built in Nelspruit for himself. And most of his time as deputy president, he was using taxpayers' funds to fly to and from the house in Nelspruit so he could monitor its progress. So at least our money didn't go to waste.
Okay, you. Tracy, who we love on the show, has found some really great information that I think you should read, Gareth.
Oh, this is from Gazoogle, which is the ghetto version of Google. And they say, Dizzy Dabede Didi Mabuza, born 25 August 1960, be a downtown African sucker whose ass has been deputy prezi of downtown Africa since February 2018. Praise be.
Ooh, yeah.
It is a weird thing that all of these politicians, especially the high up ones, they tend to store a lot of cash money at their farms. So if the rest of us as good law-abiding South Africans could just get a list of all of the farms that all these important politicians have, and we could go there and get some of our money back, I feel like that would be a great place for us to start. I'm not saying we should actively encourage theft, but it does sound...
It should be an organized thing. I mean, I've got some family members who'd love to help, like my auntie, who could sit there on a Sunday at the table and hand out dish out the money, keep a list, you know? Doesn't need to be a whole looting thing.
Look, how will we survive? Well, luckily for us, Paul Mashatile is waiting in the wings, and apparently he is the guy who's going to take over. So very exciting stuff. We've got Paul Mashatile, who already has, you know, quite a lot more on his list of achievements than Didi Mabuza does. But that's not to say Didi Mabuza was a waste of time and space and that we should really just put him in as a footnote of history because that's all he'll ever be. I'm not saying that. That's
I would never say that. Who would, Gareth? I mean, it would be spitting in the face of greatness if you said something like that. So we would never. We would never.
Who the hell are we to criticize him, you know? All right, so now we've had our go at that. It's terrible, terrible news. When I heard the news yesterday, I was heartbroken, but what can we do? We must move on. We must be strong. We must stand together, boom, boom, and try to make things a little bit easier for everyone in this country, especially for the downtrodden. What did he say in his foundation? The vulnerable communities, the disabled, the old, the young, the poor. Let's think of them, how they're going to struggle on without Didi Mabuza there to hold their hands.
Yeah.
Almost brings a tear to my eye. It's very difficult. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm so emotional.
Don't worry, Gareth. Paul is going to come and just sweep us away. Maybe the last reserves of our finances too. But, you know, who are we as South Africans if not forgiving?
I can only hope. All right. We do have to move on. Apparently, Leanne, this is the kind of shit that you find that no one else finds. It's one of the reasons we love having you on the show. Six doctors swallowed Lego for science, and they've discovered important things. They swallowed Lego, and this is part of what they were doing as their research. Tell us all about this amazing research. This should really be sponsored by the Didi Mabuza Foundation, but go ahead.
Well, the reason why they did it is actually to almost throw a spotlight on those very nervous parents, helicopter type parents.
Oh, yes.
It's the thing, you know, kids putting Lego into their nostrils, their ears, or swallowing Lego, ending up in an emergency room. And these researchers wanted to show that it's not all that bad if you swallow Lego. So, in particular, they got together with a bunch of those Lego heads, the little yellow knobs with the faces on them, said, well, let's do it for science. And so they got together and swallowed a few of these Lego heads, these pediatricians. One of the pediatricians, the guy who started it, Dr. Andy Tagg, when he was a toddler, he swallowed two Lego pieces that were stuck together. And that came from trying to bite them apart when they were really stuck. And the next thing he knew, it went down the hatch. And there are a lot of very anxious parents who end up you know, panicking about this, and he wanted to show that it's absolutely fine. It just passes through your stool within a day or two. So he was wondering if he could spare all of these nervous parents from needless worry. And so he and these five pediatricians thought there was a good way to get this message out through science. So they each swallowed a Lego head or two and basically wanted to see how long it took to swallow and then excrete this plastic toy. The study included three criteria: a previous gastrointestinal surgery, the inability to ingest foreign objects, and an aversion to searching through fecal matter. Researchers then measured the time it took for these gulped Lego heads to be passed, and the time interval was given a found and retrieved time, or fart score.
All right. This is very
interesting. They eventually also wanted to raise awareness about a few types of objects that are hazardous to kids if swallowed. One is those little button batteries, those small little wafer-shaped batteries found in electronic toys. Those can actually burn through an esophagus in a couple of hours. So they did want to show that those are very dangerous, but very different from swallowing a coin or a Lego head. So we just want to thank these six pediatricians who devoted their found and retrieved time, their fart scores, to science by swallowing these heads to placate nervous parents all around the world.
Leanne, we all know that Lego paid these people. None of them were doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Lego was going down on sales, and they're like, we need some people to volunteer, and we're going to give you a healthy settlement because nobody's trying to swallow a Lego head. Okay, so they need to be honest with us. We love the research, but be honest. How much did you get paid to do this? Okay, because no.
Lego are very clever in their marketing strategies. I really wouldn't be surprised.
I can't believe that our best and brightest pediatricians are busy swallowing Lego in this regarded research with fart scores. I mean, are they just taking the piss? This is almost like when the doctors were dancing during COVID. Do you remember? It's like, you guys are meant to be fixing stuff and helping people. You're dancing in the corridors of your hospital and singing If by John Lennon.
I don't know. If I was a really nervous mom, I might actually go to the pediatrician who swallowed Lego to prove to me that it's absolutely fine.
Well, good thing you're not a mom, hey, because if that was what you were spending your time doing.
Well, that's the only reason I'm not a mother.
You know what? Your children would grow up to be deputy president. I'll tell you that much. If you eat enough Lego, everybody, if you eat enough Lego and some of it goes into your head instead of to your asshole, you'll become deputy president of South Africa one day. You can be assured of that. Why do we have a deputy president? I'm sorry to be harping on this. I keep saying we're moving on, but we're not. I haven't let go. I'm still dealing with this. Why do we need a deputy president?
Isn't it just for the sole purpose of standing in if something happens? Well, I mean, we had a deputy president for 2 days who became a president, didn't he?
Yes, Mangosuthu Buthelezi was deputy president for like 2 days. But anyone can stand in, anyone who's in cabinet. So you could have the Minister of Justice or the Minister of whatever. They could all stand in. We don't need this guy. He's got an office. He's got a Blue Light Brigade. He's got a house in Cape Town and a house in Joburg and probably a couple of others as well. He doesn't really have a job. Remember, Cyril was deputy president during the Zuma years. He claims he was so unimportant that he didn't even know about all the Gupta stuff that was going on. So by his own admission, a deputy president's a dumb thing. Before that, who did we have as deputy president? Oh, wait, Jacob Zuma, because he was so good as deputy president. Really, guys, I'm struggling to see the value here. Like, someone show me the value that a deputy president brings. What we could do with them.
Well, there's more people to share your winnings with, Gareth. Like, you know, there's more people. Two heads are better than one when you're stealing. So I think sometimes you just need to run your ideas past the second brightest in command. And then they can tell you where, you know, you're going to fall short and which part not to take from yet. So I think we're really undervaluing the importance of a deputy president. How much more, like, I mean, you want us to actually have money to run the country. Have you lost your mind? And so, no, I mean, let's not, you know, look down on the deputy president. They've got a very important role.
All right. You make very valid points. So here's something that's related to that, which you may be interested in. These are the requirements for the worst job in South Africa. Okay. What is the worst job in South Africa? Anyone want to guess?
Deputy president.
No, that's the best job. All the reasons that we've just discussed. The worst job is to be the CEO of Eskom.
Oh, of course. Yes.
So Eskom actually published an ad for their new chief executive officer. They're actually advertising for this job. Okay. The group is looking for an experienced engineer and businessman with at least 15 years of management experience who can work with intelligence, discipline, and integrity and is able to address the small task of bringing stability to the ongoing energy crisis. Okay. So here's what they want. This is what they say that you need. You need to have the following qualifications. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
A postgraduate degree in engineering or business administration, economics, or a suitable qualification at NQF level 8 with 480 credits. Does anyone know what that means?
That's a lot. It's certainly not just, you know, I have a lowly BA. That sounds like a lot of work.
Right, so you don't have a postgraduate degree in engineering, for example?
Nope.
Or, okay, how about an undergraduate degree with an MBA or relevant postgraduate degree, which could be an advantage? How about that? Do you have that?
No, not there.
Completely unqualified so far. So, completely.
We're all out. But here, you also need related experience of at least 15 to 20 years of senior management experience at executive committee level. Ideally within emerging markets. You need a strong commercial acumen with a successful track record in managing the strategic turnaround of a commercial entity operating within a complex environment with over 20,000 employees and annual turnover of 50. There's no turnover of 50 billion. Now they're just lying. They're lying in their job application. A leader with unquestionable integrity and ethics. You know? Maybe Didi Mabuza can just go from deputy president to CEO of Eskom. A demonstrable and sustainable track record of turning around commercially and operationally challenged institutions. Extensive experience in raising capital and managing large capital projects. And then they go into personal characteristics. This is the part I like the most. Must be a disciplined and goal-oriented professional with proven leadership experience at executive level with personal integrity.
Well, you need to be goal oriented. You've got to stick to the load shedding schedule with diligence.
Right. So if anyone's interested, they actually advertised that job. And if you'd like the job, please let us know. But that is what the worst job in South Africa is as per its own job.
Leanne, but shouldn't you also be able to survive a couple of things? Because they forgot to tell you that you are constantly going to be on someone's hit list, like trying to unalive you. So, yes. I mean, I think they left out a pretty important part of that job description. Like, immune to cyanide. I love what Wayne said.
Yes, you're going to be immune to cyanide. There is no amount of money that you could pay me to take that job. No amount of money.
What would you do if you woke up tomorrow morning and somehow you'd landed the job of Eskom CEO and that was your job? Your alarm went off. You needed to shower.
I would resign immediately. I'd say there's no way I'm working in that nest of vipers. There's no way I'm working with government as the main stakeholder. I'm not getting involved in that shit. I'm out. I would rather be sweeping the street outside of Eskom than working in the CEO's suite.
Truthfully, the only qualified person is our former deputy, president, because he has dealt with all of this. He knows the pressures of the job. He knows how to function in high pressure situations. He is so immune to nonsense that honestly, he's the only person I trust, Gareth. None of us are qualified.
Didi Stop Nonsense Mabuza. That's his new name. Did you stop nonsense? All right. If I come with my own bulletproof vest, do you think I stand a chance, says Stuart? Oof. I don't know. Litlotla says, you'd at least need to be able to take your own coffee to work.
Yeah, you need to bring your own flask. Coffee will not be provided.
George Meany, who is a CEO, says if he got that job, he'd just stay in bed. There's no point. Right, George? I agree with you. What the hell for? I thought a criminal record was a prerequisite, says Steve. And producer Ryan says, so now they have job requirements. Why don't they give it to a cousin or something? It seems to be working everywhere else. Good point. Absolutely.
Spicy, right. Ryan.
We've really traversed a huge number of things this morning. We've gone Chinese spy balloon. We've talked about Didi Mabuza leaving. We've spoken about the Robben Island silent disco, which of course Leanne and Candace are lining up to go to. We're talking about swallowing Lego, but it's not quite over yet. Listen to this. Last week, of course, and the week before, we had tigers loose in Johannesburg. Remember? I don't know if you heard about this, Candace, but you've been living in like first world Cape Town, but here in Joburg, we've got fucking tigers on the loose. We got wild animals. So here in my estate, there was a jackal on, there was a, one of my neighbors photographed a jackal wandering around, early on, I think it was Friday morning. How do you like them apples?
Jeez.
A jackal. Yeah.
I mean, in modern Gauteng, this is happening. Yep. And how dangerous are those to humans?
But wait, there's more. No, jackal's not really dangerous to humans, but it might, you know, might eat someone's pets or something like that. I mean, it's a wild animal. Then I went to visit my parents over the weekend. My mother says there was a monkey, a vervet monkey, wandering around inside their complex. Now, I don't have evidence of this. I have evidence of the jackal. Someone took a picture of it. I don't know whether it's true, but a vervet monkey was in one of the trees outside my parents' house. Now, if the monkeys and the jackals and the tigers are all coming out, Gauteng is being reclaimed by the animals because we've obviously, you know, now with all the load shedding and everything else, these animals are like, well, this place is not going to be long before it's all wild again. So we may as well re-enter, start taking back what's ours. It's quite something. It's all happening.
I'm not averse to that.
I think I do. I think Animal Farm was onto something, you know, like the way we're running our own country. I'm like, let some animals come through. And you know what? Maybe some of us aren't supposed to survive, Gareth. Maybe this is the Lord's way of clearing us out and saying, let us actually start over because we tried with a super flu that didn't do the thing. Let the animals go do what the animals need to do and let the strongest survive. You know what? If I must go, I will gladly go, Gareth, because the way the state of the world is looking, I'm happy if I've served my time.
Yeah, this time we don't need humans on Noah's Ark. It can just be the animals' ark.
No, well, you guys know. I mean, like, it takes 3 points to plot a graph, right? So we had Tiger 1, Tiger 2. Now I had the jackal, and then we've got the monkey. I mean, for me, the graph seems to indicate that the animals are coming to take their shit back. Yeah. So I'm okay with it. Amazing.
Me too.
Someone says even the animals are fed up with the ANC. there are genets. This is interesting. This is from genets in the park suburbs. They've been known to be around for a long time. Genets are a kind of wild cat, and they're mostly nocturnal. But hell, if that's true, that's cool. Animals know that 1984 was a real thing happening now. They're the only free ones. There we go. Even the animals are protesting, says Uncle Potse. B says, there was a monitor lizard in Edenvale. What a drama. It's wild out here. You see, we always used to laugh because when people in America would say, oh my God, do you have wild animals in your streets? And we'd go like, ha, 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 no, you stupid American. We live in civilized, you know, South Africa. We've got streets and electricity and water and, yeah, you know, shops and like, we're not primitive. We think we're walking around in loincloths and you know, we have to look out for wild animals. Well, yes, actually,
yeah,
we are going to be back in loincloths and we are looking out for wild animals. You don't do that at your peril. Yonder says, I grew up with baboons and penguins in Cape Town as part of normal everyday things. And the former even used to come on paydays. Oh, my God. Ruth says, I'd rather have all of this than all the anacondas in Florida. Apparently, there's a population explosion due to people having them as pets. Well, Ryan, our producer, lives in Florida. I wonder if he is one of...
Surely this is Florida in America.
No, I think they're talking. I think she's talking about Florida in the West Rand.
No, Garrett, please. You know, I come from the West Rand. Please don't do my people like this. I know we're not the most sophisticated, but we try. Okay, we try.
Candace, according to Ryan, you should know in the West Rand, there are always a few African wild African grey parrots on the loose. That's true, right?
You know what, Ryan? It is true, but I also don't appreciate you adding to this narrative about the West Rand. You know, coming from the West Rand, you appreciate so much more, Gareth. You appreciate the fact that, you know, you can live with animals side by side. And you also, you know what? You appreciate a little corruption here and there. You're like, who needs roads that function? You're like, you know what? Everything is the way it should be. Yeah. So the West Rand prepares you for life, Gareth. Everyone should live there once in their life.
That's why you're so calm. That's why you're so calm and serene about it. Everything falling apart is that you go like, well, the West Rand prepared me for this. Dogoza says, I fight a monkey on my balcony every second week. He has to fight them. Yes, sis.
And Tracy mentions a baboon on the loose in her neighborhood. I don't know which neighborhood you're in, Tracy, but I do remember there was one in Melville as well when I lived there. I was like kind of herding my cats inside at one point. I was a bit afraid.
Yeah. Baboons. Bloody scary. So apparently, according to Carl, definitely referring to Florida in the USA with all the pythons and anacondas. George
That's
says,
I think.
A Vusrant. They call it the Vusrant for a reason. Yeah. A lot of people in the West and the South who keep very strange pets, eh? Especially in the West Rand and the South Rand. Just saying.
It's true.
I had a friend growing up when I was schooled in the South. I had a friend who had one of everything.
You mean when you went to a place called a school in the South? But you,
yes.
Schooled in the South.
I attended a family friend lunch yesterday, and I haven't seen them in years. And a new member of the family kept, when I was telling my stories, kept saying, like, where did you go to school? Because, you know, was it even a school? So, yeah, on that note. But she had one of everything. She had a vervet monkey, a duck. She had a rat, what they call fancy rats. She had a fancy rat. Yeah, very strange and interesting pets.
Well, can I ask how much melanin they had in their skin, Leanne? Because I know us melanin rich people don't get down like that. We just don't. We don't play with nature. Nature doesn't play with us.
One of my favorite TikTok accounts is an older black man in America who's like, white women, they'll taste anything. There's a photograph of a woman in a Costco parking lot stroking a wild moose. And he's like, you see, she's like, I'm going to put you in the boot of my car and take you to get you some marshmallows for lunch.
You know what, Leanne? I will tell you, white women are unafraid of things, eh? Like, they are actually the upper inchelon of humanity because they don't give a if. And they're so protected and they're so fearless. And, you know, for us as melanin-rich women, we look at this in awe. I mean, even when they come and fight for our causes, they manage to take over them. They're like, wait, step aside, Jabulile. Step aside. I'm going to speak for you. What you're doing to Jabulile is not right, okay? And we are like, take over, Karen. We don't have the energy. Like...
Yeah, it's very true. Once we find a cause we love, we're in it. We'll fight you to the death.
To death. Mm-hmm. All right. So Signet says here, this is interesting. To impress a girl, depending on where in Joburg you're from, in the north, you have to have a luxury German car. In the east, you have to have a GTI with a loud exhaust. In the south, you need a city Golf with a pound-pound system. And in the west, you need a super bike. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's
pretty accurate.
Little Kolo says, oh, sorry, that monkey escaped from me. I was busy trying to create Muti. Oh, my God. All right, well. Sharon says there's a TV series called Zoo where wild animals turn against humans. I love that. Someone sent me a video this weekend of a bunch of people somewhere. I think it must have been Zimbabwe or Zambia or something. And they're all at the river and they're like sitting on this crocodile and they're like going up to the crocodile. And then, of course, the one woman goes a little bit too close and the crocodile turns around and like grabs her arm. And you just hear everyone in the video going, ah, ooh, ah. And they scream and they like jump and they run and oh Jesus! And it becomes like a whole like it's just you're like, why are you people messing with a crocodile? Don't be stupid.
Well, it reminds me of the seal attack video in Cape Town a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys saw that, Gareth.
Yes.
You literally hear in the video, oh my God, how cute. Oh shit. Oh, damn, it's attacking. You just see like people running for their lives. And I'm like, why do you antagonize the? And did you see that there were no brown people in the water? Because they saw the seal. They were like, I'm out. All the, you know, they were like, oh my God, how cute. And yeah, things went down.
I was that woman when I lived in Kalk Bay. On one of the first days I was there, I took a walk down to the dock and there were two seals lying. I was looking at a picture on my Instagram, I think. They were lying in like the shape of a heart, a male and a female, and it was so cute. And I was standing over them taking a photograph and the female suddenly, very suddenly, lashed her head back and went... And I shat myself. I swear I nearly jumped off the dock into the water with the boats. I'll never approach a seal again. Those things can be really vicious.
Don't mess with animals. Just leave them alone. They, you know what? They didn't ask to share this earth with us. And, you know, we always hear about human beings. Yeah, you know, we've got to look after the planet and we've got this job to look after the animals and the plants and make sure everybody actually. Earth will be fine if all the humans go extinct. Fine. And all the animals will be fine if we go extinct as well. They'll be perfectly happy. Thank you very much. We are the problem. We are the problem people. We are the problem creatures on Earth. Anyway, Sanele says, what those white women lack in melanin, they double up on in carnness. Yeah, exactly. Gareth, did you see that a video of the lion that was sedated but woke up as the vets were moving it? Hilarious. I haven't seen that video, but that must be scary. Imagine a lion waking up. You think it's been drugged, and then it wakes up. Carl says, I'm half Lebanese, and I grew up in the South. Some of my cousins make those vervet monkeys look tame. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. Also, like Lindy says, Rottweilers in a secure estate, that must be the West Rand. Yeah. Lots of criticism of the West Rand coming up this morning. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. We don't. Taking a beating.
We try not to.
There's so much discrimination happening and I don't get it, Gareth. I just don't. We good people. We just have harsh circumstances that we try and navigate the best we can.
All right. Well, here is a list. I think this might amuse you, of the worst baby names. All right. So this could be some fun. Worst baby names of the last year. Because obviously we've started a brand new year. So, these are the names you should not give your child. So I'll go through them. If you can't see, if you're not on the YouTubes with us this morning, if you are on the YouTube with us this morning, then please like and subscribe and share the word. Tell everybody that you know, the people that you love and the people that you hate about the show so that they can all come and join us tomorrow. Hopefully it'll make them more bearable in social situations. All right. So here are the names, the worst names of the last year. Boys' names. The worst names are Champ. I kid you not. Anous. Anous, Abaddon, or would you say
Abaddon? Bad Aladdin.
Would you say Abaddon or Abaddon?
Abaddon. I think it has to have like some sort of je ne sais quoi. Abaddon.
Abaddon. Spartacus. There are people who are calling their sons Spartacus.
Spartacus.
Yeah. Lucifer, no doubt that's one of the words. Can't give your child. Lord. Really, that's just an awful thing to do to your kid. I mean, he's never going to grow up to be anything important. You know, no one ever reads out on the intercom, and could Lucifer please come to the office? Because Lucifer just got the certificate for being the best student in the school.
Lucifer van Blommenstein.
Yeah, right. Jedi is another terrible name to give a child. Mm. Inspector. 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 Imagine calling your child Inspector. Inspector Farvalt, will you please come to the principal's office? Ebola. That's a terrible name.
I mean, I already know where Ebola came from in terms of who's naming their kids. And I hate to say it, but it's probably Upper Africans. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. But it's probably. I already know.
Danger is a terrible name for a boy, and Cletus is the worst name of 2022. Cletus, Cletus. I remember in The Simpsons, there was a character called Cletus Delroy, and Cletus was like the heck of The Simpsons. So if you're calling your son Cletus, I think that's a very terrible name. Now the girls. First one, Vagonica.
I mean, come on now. Come on now.
Not Veronica, but Vagonica. Maybelline, as in the cosmetics company. Mm. L'Oreal, as in the cosmetics company.
Or if you're from Pretoria, L'Oreal.
L'Oreal. And Chardonnay, which of course is a kind of
wine. I know where that comes from, Gareth. That is African-American woman. I already know it because they like naming their kids after alcoholic beverages. There's Hennessy, there's Champagne, now there's Chardonnay. I'm not shocked.
Elizabeth. Not Elizabeth, but Elizabeth. Why would you call your child Elizabeth?
Horrible.
That's bad. Imunique, spelt I'MUNIQUE. Imunique. Mm. Okay. Boomquifer.
that's my favorite one on the list.
Boomquifer. I think that is a great name. I don't know why it made the list of worst names. This should be on the best names list. Boomquifer.
I mean, if I have another pet, I'm naming it that. That's for sure.
Please do. Maybe it.
Boomquifer Mole.
That's such a great name. Beverly. Not Beverly, but Beverly. I didn't even know that was real, but there it is. R Miracle is the second most popular name. R Miracle, A-H.
Well, and then I think you're saying it wrong, Gareth. It's supposed to be like a sigh of relief, like, ah, miracle. You know, it has to be said with emphasis. A miracle. Wow.
Why don't you go and fetch Boom, quick, go fetch your sister, our miracle. We got to go to the shop.
Definitely same family. Our miracle, Boom, Quifa, and Chardonnay are 100% in the same family.
I love it. And then the most popular, or rather the worst popular girl's name is Appaloosa, which is a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, it's a place in America. But it's to call your daughter Appaloosa. I mean, really, that's just very cruel.
Loser for short.
Mm. So we often talk about how bad names just are the worst thing you can give your child, but it seems no one's listening. Here in South Africa, the one set of names, I keep a list, Leanne, of bad Afrikaans names.
Oh, yes, you do.
And I've been adding to it. Do you want to hear some of the new ones?
Oh, yes,
please.
Candace, you've never been privy to this incredible list of cuck Afrikaans names. It's something I keep
I'm
on
excited.
My – constantly updating. Look how long the list has become. It's ages and ages. All right. So here are some names that I've just added. Gretely, spelt Gretel with an I. Stenise.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like Stenise. An antihistamine tablet.
Yep. Zante. That's a, that's a good one. Murilene, spelt M-U-R-I-L-E-N-E.
It should be M-O-E, Murilene.
That's what I thought, Leanne. I was like, yes, and the Murren, you know? Yeah. Like, I thought it was in that play, in that vein.
Well, maybe you guys, maybe you're right. Francelle, that's a good name, Francelle. Quansha, spelt with a Q. Q-W. Now, remember, I only add the names to this list if you prove to me that they actually belong to someone. So you have to send me their a picture of their birth certificate or their if they're estate agents on their board. You have to otherwise I don't add them. So these are real names. I'm not making it up. Chantalisa. Actually,
if you took some of those American families that we were talking about earlier, who have like Bumshika and those sort of names, if you give any of those an Afrikaans accent, it might work. Like the one you've just said now?
It is Boom Kweefa. All right. Please get it right.
Boom Kweefa. What's the name you said now, the one on your list?
Francelle.
No.
Quansha.
Quansha. See, Quansha. Could have been Quansha, but if you go Quansha.
Yo, go fetch Quansha. Where the hell Quansha?
Okay. Here's a good one. Zuzette, spelled Z-O-Z-E-T-T-E. Zuzette. Every letter is repeated except the O. There are two Z's, there are two T's, and there are two E's in Zuzette. That's beautiful. Here's another one. Yuvanka, spelled J-O-V-A-N-C-K-E. And there are two that have really made the top of my list. Recently, the one is Norlene, spelled N-A-U-L-E-N-E, which sounds like kind of when you're feeling sick, but there isn't a bathroom around for you to take a shit, and you know it's going to be a big diarrhea-filled one. Norlene, I'm feeling so Norlene. You know,
it's when you're nauseous at both ends. You're Norlene. Yes,
you're Norlene. And then my favorite one, which I know you both going to love to pieces, the latest addition to the list, Fakulane. Spelt V-A-K-K-O-L-Y-N. Fakulane.
My goodness. You know, with all these names, all of a sudden I'm starting to feel a little broody. I'm like, actually, maybe I should have some babies so that I can give no ifs about how they get bullied on the playground, because these parents clearly did not give an if. They were like, you know, because also, is it like with a name, you know, you meet those people who try and like give you a nickname from your name all the time. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Like, come here, Zuzu. Like, I mean, like some of these names are just not user friendly. They're just not.
Well, I've decided that for the purposes of the rest of this morning's show, which luckily for you two is only 6 minutes more, I'm going to call you, Leanne, Boom Kweefa, and Candace is going to be referred to as Fakulane. All right. So go ahead. You've got last few minutes. What do you want to get off your chests? You can go first. Boom Kweefa, what do you want to say?
I just want to say that there's only one obvious shortening of Fakulane. It's very unfortunate.
But what would you say that is?
I could be called Boom or Kweefa. I wouldn't mind. Neither of those are too bad. But to be called short for Fakulane is just a bit of a problem.
How do we shorten your name, Fakulane? Why don't you tell us? How do we shorten your name?
Ulane. Fork back. You know, there's so many. I just think like when my parents were naming me, they were just so inspired by, you know, freedom. And they were like, Fakulane, man. Like, you know, wow, we are in it. The struggle is over. So I just think that my name should be respected. Like, you know, and fuck anyone who doesn't believe so.
I love it. Lord. All right. Very good. What are your plans for the week, Boom Kweefa Mole? What are you up to?
Well, Fakulane and I are actually spending the weekend together.
We're
conducting a survey at a mall. It's going to be called the Boom Kweefa Fakulane Survey. It's because we want to try and find,
for it, by the way.
We want to try and help find a new ESCOM chief and also deputy president.
That's nice of you. You're helping the country. Yeah. Very good.
Always.
So Tracy says, when my oldest was a toddler, he had a friend in his preschool class called Farki. Of course, toddlers can't pronounce the R, so Farki became Fucky. I thought my child was swearing. Shame. It's just terrible.
No, but isn't Farki, and maybe my Afrikaans data bundles have run out, but isn't that a pig?
Yes.
Like a little yes. Fark? Why yes. would you call your kid a little piggy? I mean, well, pigs are cute and stuff, but I mean, come on now.
I mean, as much as those are all horrible names, I do have to say there's something charming that Afrikaans people do is they give their kids nicknames, and those nicknames often stay their nicknames for the rest of their lives. I mean, like you've heard of Draadgar de Lange, and you've heard of Langpiet, and like they've all got yeah. funny names with a nickname attached to it. I kind of find that
Kortbroek.
Yeah, Martins, or like Puff.
Kortbroek van Schalkwijk.
Yeah. He's a rugby player, right? I don't know if this is his name.
He was the last Faf du Plessis, but Faf is short for something. It's what I like is when they call them like Bies.
Like buck oor boinkies or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or your pastei van 'n wald.
Bies. I like that one too.
So those are the names I like. So if anybody has any of those, please feel free to supply them. I'll make another list. I've got, this is the kind of shit that makes my life happy. I keep lists of shit names and great nicknames. So if you'd like to contribute, please bring it on. All right, everybody, have an excellent day. And thank you very much to Fakulane Mama in Cape Town and to Boom Kweefa Mole here in Johannesburg. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com. Be good. And if you're not, take photos. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.